What it means when a top Republican CEO goes Democrat. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. 2 weeks ago, California's Silicon Valley was represented at the Republican convention by venture capitalist Peter Thiel endorsing Donald Trump. Now a very high-profile Silicon Valley Republican, the CEO of HP Enterprises, Meg Whitman, has endorsed Hillary Clinton. Mitchell Hartman has more from the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting. Mitchell?
Hi, good to be here, David.
So tell me more about this.
Well, you know, Meg Whitman is now the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. That's after a decade running eBay. She's a key Republican fundraiser, and she's been sort of a representative of the moderate pro-business Silicon Valley wing of the party. She was a key fundraiser for Mitt Romney and for Chris Christie. Now she says she'll vote, she'll contribute in the mid-six figures, and try to convince her friends to give money to Hillary Clinton's campaign. She isn't leaving the Republican Party, though. But she says Donald Trump, who she's long criticized, and she helped bankroll the anti-Trump super PAC, by the way, is uninformed and will endanger the country's prosperity.
Meg Whitman is a billionaire, but she's just a single person here. What can you tell us about where other business and fundraising tycoons stand?
Well, you know, the chips are sort of continuing to fall among these billionaire donors. You know, Donald Trump is raising a lot of money from big donors, just like Hillary Clinton. But you know, there is trouble in the Republican ranks. We reported early this week that the billionaire Koch brothers, they've typically bankrolled Republican congressional and local candidates as well as the presidential ticket. They won't give to the Trump campaign for president this election. You know, on the Trump side, very big money in his pocket helping Trump is casino magnate Sheldon Adelson. You know, and as you pointed out, right from Silicon Valley, like Meg Whitman, a tech exec, Peter Thiel heartily endorsed Donald Trump at the Republican convention last month.
All right, Mitchell, thank you. Let us check the markets now. The 100-share index in London is down 0.4%. Japan's Nikkei fell 1.9% amid more disappointment about the extent of government economic stimulus there. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down about 0.2%, as if the Dow were down 25 points. Crude oil is below $40 now, $39.81 a barrel. This week, General Electric dropped a few more details about its planned new headquarters in Boston, like the focus on public transit. There will be limited parking, one compromise as it moves to the heart of a city and away from a sprawling suburban campus in Connecticut. Marketplace's Rima Kreis has more on companies that are ditching suburbia to attract the best and the brightest.
Last year, employees of software company Zapproved grabbed their stuff and moved from suburban Portland to downtown.
Now we have a very young workforce here in Portland, so if you want to be able to attract the best talent, you need to be where they are.
That's co-founder Chris Bright. Motorola Solutions is also relocating from suburban Chicago to the city, and McDonald's isn't far behind. In Chicago alone, more than 50 companies have moved downtown since 2007. That's according to real estate firm CBRE.
Corporations want to be viewed as 21st century knowledge economy companies.
Chris Leinberger is a business professor at George Washington University. He says it's partly a branding thing. Companies want to look hip, innovative. But the exodus isn't so great for suburbia, says Jesse Hanbury, who teaches real estate at Wharton.
The revenue that was enjoyed by, you know, lunch spots and shopping spots in these suburban areas will be moving back downtown.
Which means there could be fewer jobs for low-skilled workers left behind. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
I don't know about you, but every time I check the headlines these days, I can feel my systolic and diastolic rise. For relief, I like deep breathing, a long bike ride, or maybe one stiff belt of something strong, maybe in that order. Others find relief by taking out their frustrations on inanimate objects. A story now from Texas, where the slump in the oil and gas industry has left a lot of people tense. Here's reporter Brenda Salinas.
Cecily Gillis and Darren Hawthorne are having a meltdown. They're using a sledgehammer and a baseball bat to demolish a television. When they're done with the TV, they destroy some chairs and a bunch of glass bottles. Sean Baker comes in. Time's up.
What'd you think?
It's fun.
There's a lot of fun.
Do this more often.
This is Baker's livelihood, a business called Tantrums LLC. It's a warehouse she fills with broken furniture and dead electronics. For about $3 a minute, Baker will let you come in and rage out.
everybody's had enough at one point. And so when you come in here, you can be as aggressive as you want.
Baker got the idea a few years ago when she saw some guys beating up furniture behind a bar.
I just thought it was genius. I could see me doing it.
She worked in oil and gas for 25 years. Last summer, she got laid off.
I didn't see it coming at all. Not one bit. And I'm still very bitter over it.
A few minutes later, Lance Nolan and Holly McLellan walk through the front door with their 10-month-old daughter.
Hi, are you Sean?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Holly. We finally made it. He has no idea. This is his early Father's Day surprise.
Hawthorne is a mid-level manager at a drilling chemical company outside of Houston. Work's been tough lately.
So we actually we had a fracking division, and we had to shut it down. Had to lay off 35 people the other day.
Nolan puts on safety equipment and chooses his tools of fury.
I got some bigger lead pipes up here, golf clubs. This one works really good, too.
And then he goes at it. Afterwards, he's exhausted. He can hardly talk.
Do you feel more relaxed?
I think I will once I calm down.
He says he'll come back. Next time, he's watching the baby. His wife wants a turn with a sledgehammer. In Houston, I'm Brenda Salinas for Marketplace.
And there's news of a huge heist out of Hong Kong. $72 million of the virtual currency Bitcoin hacked from the computers of Bitfinex, a Bitcoin exchange. Nearly 120,000 Bitcoin gone from users' individual accounts. They're separate, segregated virtual wallets, the company says. When news of this first hit, Bitcoin's global value dropped 23%, although it's recovered some of that now. It's down 10% from this time yesterday. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.